Well, hey, my friends, and welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you guys the latest world news and health research. Hope you're ready for a great close of the week with some great articles here. We've got a lot of news stories we're going to be covering today. And also, too, on top of that, the product of the week, I told you guys yesterday, not the collagen, but the vitamin C powder. This is the vitamin C antioxidant formula that we put together actually during COVID in capsule form. Went ahead and ran batches of the powder shortly thereafter because people wanted to have higher doses. They didn't want to deal with capsules. This is one that Dad always talks about so much that has the quercetin in it and the other as far as antioxidants. They're really, really is good. We got the taste down pretty good on that formula, too, if you've tried it again.
I haven't tried it yet.
The powder? Mm-mm. I know you like the capsules.
I take 10 of the capsules a day.
Yeah. The powder, though, is obviously as big a seller as the capsules. People still prefer the capsules. But this vitamin C actually tastes decent. It's palatable. There was one back in the day we see it from a company. It was vitamin C ascorbate.
That was horrible.
And it was rough. I mean, you choke it down when you needed to, but it really wasn't enjoyable. This actually tastes pretty good. So this is on sale right now on the website at Team Health Masters. Be sure to check it out. And yesterday I told you, everybody that loves the collagen peptides or wants to try them, we've got them in the new 10-ounce can, basically for your gym bag or for a small cabinet or if you want to keep just a smaller batch of it you're not using as much. On sale right now on the website at Team Health Masters. We still have the 20 and the 10, whichever option you want. We got them for you at Team Health Master, so be sure to check those out. And how are you doing this morning,
my friend? I'm doing great. I'm doing a whole lot better than Howard Stern's doing.
Howard Stern? What happened to him now?
The king of all media. Yeah. Self-proclaimed. They canceled him. He's done.
What'd he do now?
He's been fired. And he basically went totally woke. And one of the articles said, here's why ignorant, arrogant, irrelevant Howard Stern had to go. And he basically, instead of endorsing Trump, which he probably should have, he basically endorsed, Kamala Harris.
Ah, that was a mistake.
And that was the end of it. And he's been totally woke with the transgender stuff and everything else. And he says, I'm proud to be woke. Well, now he's proud to be gone.
He was always pretty filthy as far as a lot of his stuff on there.
Well,
he wasn't that woke.
Well, they got him off the radio waves because he kept getting fined.
Right.
And then they put him on, on Sirius, and then he basically got like a $100 million contract. He's worth about $650 million. He's very, very wealthy. So I don't think he really cares. He's irrelevant.
Probably not going to mess his life up too much.
But they just blindsided him. They didn't even tell him they were going to renew his contract. They just cut him loose. And so it was goodbye, Howard Stern.
They must have some clause in there that they were sitting on then.
Well, the problem is when you go woke and you got a national audience and you got a bunch of guys listening to you, they said his audience was down to 125,000 people a day. I mean,
that's low for him. We're better than that.
We're bigger than that.
Yeah.
and they were trying to support this 100 million. He had like 90 people working for him on staff.
Ooh, that's a lot of payroll.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 100 million a year. Some insane amount of money. And so they basically said, we're not doing this. We're not going to keep playing this and paying this. This is ridiculous because we don't have any numbers. And nobody was listening to him because nobody wants to hear about woke.
No. Well, yeah, we've already had enough of it shoved in our face during the Biden administration with the tranny Bud Light the whole host of other things happening. I mean, people are really over it.
Well, he was a shock jock, and he used to appeal, to guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And, guys, it's like this crude behavior on air, which is kind of sad, but they did.
Yeah.
And the problem now is he's still being crude, which basically runs off all the other listeners, and the guys don't want to hear about trannies.
Well, that's true.
So there's nobody listening. Nobody wants to hear it.
Everything.
And by the way, South Park has absolutely slammed Kristi Noem.
Are we going to cover South Park again?
Yeah.
What'd they do now?
Well, no. She came out and was mad. She did a press conference, so they were attacking her as a female. And they really,
South Park attacks everybody.
Well, South Park portrays Kristi Noem as a puppy shooting in the face, face melting villain, and she comes in with ice, and she basically her face keeps falling off because she has so much Botox in it and so many facelifts, and so they were making fun of her, her face, and then every time she sees a puppy anywhere, she kills it.
Gosh.
I mean, shoots it in the face in the South Park episode. Don't watch all your kids.
I'm not even going to play it.
You can't play it. And then, so Superdog comes in from this last Superman movie. So she gets a high-powered rifle out and kills Superdog because there's another puppy. So every time she sees a puppy, she kills it. So Superboy can't even come to the rescue. She basically is killing everything. Her face falls off and is running around. They're trying to catch it with a net. It's pretty funny, honestly. But she didn't think it was fun. Well, how South Park's always like that.
So this is what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's her.
She's running around in body armor?
Yeah, and her face keeps falling off. And she pulls that 45 out every single time she sees a dog and shoots it in the face.
Guys, I didn't know. And forgive me.
And this is the little guy here with the green mask on. They hire him with, I mean, no training. They give him an AR-15 to run around with to go arrest these people. And he's apologizing to everybody because they go to like this little play where their kids are all playing. And they go inside and they raid the whole place and drag them all out.
Well, you know, this is another problem that came up. I talked to a real good friend of mine yesterday. He called me up. We hadn't talked in a while. He's got this huge stucco company. And he says he's having an issue right now. Because some of his guys are going to get material. They're literally, he said, this is
Home Depot.
Happy to hit.
Well, they're staking out Home Depot.
No, he said they went to Lowe's. They were doing a big job site in Lowe's, and they went off to go get more material. They need to back up stuff. They normally have suppliers that drop the material off at the job site. But sometimes, you know, they run out of mud. They run out of mixture. They got to have something to write down the road. Okay, go grab this. We said a bunch of his guys got busted at Lowe's. And he goes, here's the problem that I have, Austin. He goes, how does law enforcement and ICE automatically know when somebody's walking around a store that they're illegals? They're taking these guys that are walking out of the store with paint buckets, bags of mortar. They're jumping on them and arresting them, handcuffing them, zip-tying them like animals in a parking lot. Well, you're telling me that 100% of these people that they've jumped on are all 100% illegals? They haven't jumped on one person that says law-abiding American citizen?
Well, they're profiling. They're profiling. They're Hispanics.
They're profiling them. And that's a serious issue because here's the next problem. If they set a precedent, I'm just going to play devil's advocate for this. The next administration, say we get in, they're a bunch of nutbags. Say we get another Biden administration. What if they start saying, well, we have these neo-Nazi racist skinheads that are running around everywhere. Anybody that's white can be a neo-Nazi terrorist. We have to start preemptively arresting them now because they may be doing something bad in the future. We got to find out if they're doing anything illegal. So we just got to start arresting people and detaining people anywhere we go now. There's no way on God's green earth that ICE knows who's illegal or who has papers or doesn't papers when they're running through Lowe's and Home Depot parking lots, jumping on people like they're panthers.
But remember, they can't go into people's homes without search warrants.
Correct.
And so what they do, it's easier to get them in public.
So what they're doing now, this is a loop around gray area that they could just go and jump on everyone. And there's like 10 ICE agents, they pull up in a U-Haul. They sling the door open in the U-Haul, and they all jump out in ski mask and body armor and just start jumping on people.
And that's what they show with Kristi Noem.
Just legit videos. And so, I mean, again, you have this aspect of, why haven't we seen any raids of the MS-13 groups, especially in Colorado?
Because they shoot back, Austin.
It's not fun anymore, is it? It's like ATF. ATF loves to go raid people's houses because, oh, he's got an unregistered rifle. Oh, we're raiding his house. I haven't seen ATF go raid any, you know, trend gangs out in Colorado.
If you watch that movie Sicario, and they're coming they're coming up to the border, and all of a sudden there's these MS-13 gangs members, and they're all faces are all tattooed up,
sitting in the car,
and they're all heavily armed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they have to basically go up to them with machine guns and say, "Don't pull your guns," and they do anyhow.
Yeah.
So now there's a gunfight
in the middle of border crossing.
And the thing about it was that, you know, none of the Americans got killed because they were basically heavily trained mercenaries.
Oh, yeah. They were Delta, and they have contractors and everything else.
But here's some of the comments. Trump is already trying to silence his critics, including by pressuring social media platforms. Okay. The fact that she was mad over South Park mocking her appearance and not killing puppies and terrorizing immigrants just amplifies her repugnant moral character. It is interesting that she's most insulted by the face-melting depiction and not the depiction of her violent and sociopathic personalities. Seven tribes, maybe Indian tribes, have banned Kristi Noem from their tribal lands. Is Kristi Noem so narcissistic that she can't see that South Park is brutally criticizing her job performance? Going after her appearance is just a comic gloss. And that's the truth. Okay. And now, this is the funny one. When a clown moves into the palace, he doesn't become a king. The palace becomes a circus. That was one of the best quotes. I repeat that again. When a clown moves into the palace, I think they're referring to Trump here because they're saying he. When a clown moves into a palace, he doesn't become king. The palace becomes a circus. Kristi Noem is the circus freak.
Well, I mean, she at least she didn't have happen to her what they did to Britney Spears on South Park. I mean, that was horrific. I mean, I'm not going to bring that up. I mean, it was...
It was horrible. They blew her head off.
Yeah, but she's still alive trying to sing. I mean, it was horrible.
And horrible. Here's another one. I think Christy Nome's puppy is coming back to haunt her, which is good. Any dog at 14 months is literally like a teenager. I'm betting that poor pup couldn't figure out how to please her. She's a psychopath, and she shoots that puppy in the face. And she wrote about it in her book.
Well, that was the problem, and that's what everybody kind of slammed.
Like bragging, right? Look how tough I am.
Like, yeah, I shot a 14-month-old puppy because you know he made me mad. He tried to bite me or nibble.
Shot him in the face.
Yeah. So anyway, switch gears here. I'm going to throw the ball in your court because this is interesting. Now, FAA is massively trying to hire 9,000 air traffic controllers by 2028 amid a huge nationwide shortage. They went on to say here that essentially one of the reasons why we're having so many issues is there is a very significant shortage of air traffic controllers by the end of this year.
Very stressful job.
Very stressful job, but very intensive job. I mean, you have to be focused.
Trained.
It doesn't matter how woke you want to be. This isn't a job you should be getting hired for because the DEI says the FAA is anticipating hiring 2,000 ones already in 2025 and at least 8,900 by 2028. So the aviation ecosystem is rapidly evolving and the FAA must adapt to unprecedented changes. And this is where I think we're starting to look at now, where this implementation over the last couple years in the Biden administration, where DEI was directing who got hired in the FAA. We saw how this worked out for Boeing. We saw how this worked out for some of the pilot stuff. We've seen how it's worked out now with the air traffic controllers. And I think that's why a lot of stuff's being rolled back. And they're saying we have to substantially clean this up. Because when you got planes all over the air, they're flying 200-300 people in them. You can't be hiring somebody to make sure, hire me because I'm the biggest tranny on the block, so I need to be the one who's monitoring the controls up here and traffic control. This isn't that job.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. You know, when you're a pilot, you know, it takes years of really training and flying to get pretty good at it.
I think, 2,000 hours for
pilot? Yeah, you need about 1,000 hours to apply for for a major airline. Yeah. Then they have to train you more and more. And so, you know, you don't just hire a pilot.
No.
They've got to be trained. And that means they have to have a skill set that's basically going to be there to start with before they become a pilot.
And not everybody can be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way that not everybody can be a brain surgeon.
Nope.
It's a specific – I'm not comparing those two, but I'm saying there's a specific skill set. I've been in the plane with you a ton, and I've been around other pilots, and it's not a job that's for the faint of heart. It's really not. It's not something you can just, I feel like being a pilot today. I'm going to go apply to American Airlines. I'm going to go jump in the cockpit. You have to really be able to handle it mentally, and you've got to be well-trained. And I think that's the same thing with the FAA with traffic control.
Anybody can land a plane, pretty much, if a little bit of training with Com Air.
Yeah.
Okay? It can. Unless it's a real fast plane, you got to be careful with it. But, when you start having problems and things start going wrong.
Which always happen.
Which always happen.
There's always something that goes wrong.
I remember one time I was sitting in the back of the plane, and the pilot says, anybody have any duct tape?
Yeah.
And I'm like, duct tape? And apparently one of the beverage cart things was broken, the clip, and they had to duct tape it in so they wouldn't have to go back to the gate.
Yeah.
And they did. So stewardess jumps up, big roll of duct tape, and runs up to the front of the plane and duct tapes the car shut. And I thought to myself, this is great. Now we're running on duct tape. And then one time I was flying up to New York. This is the craziest thing. And I remember there was this like 90-year-old stewardess. Now I'm being facetious, but she was pushing 80. And she was mean. And I was talking to the person I was with on the plane, and this woman says, you better be quiet or I'll have this pilot come out and throw you off this aircraft.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I remember I'm executive platinum with America, so I thought to myself, this lady's kind of crazy. So we take off, and she doesn't have the luggage card under control, the beverage card, and it flies out of the container. It comes at me. Luckily, my feet were up in the air, because I was in a bulkhead section. I had them on the wall, and I picked my feet up, and the thing hits my chair. I mean, the whole cart does. And I thought to myself, if I'd had my foot there or my ankle there, I probably would have broken my leg. Because this derelict,
didn't have a strap.
Oh, my gosh, it was awful.
You got a takeoff like that. Those beverage carts, those things are, they're not light.
Well, what she did is we were climbing at a very steep angle, and then she unhooks it. So did she not understand the term gravity?
Physics?
It's just, it's going to go down. Oh, by the way, I told you guys that we weren't going to have war with Russia months ago. I told you guys that this whole thing was just political posturing. Well, the Kremlin now says that Trump's Ukraine war-ending offer is acceptable. Because remember, we're supposed to have the 50-day thing with Putin. If you don't do this, we're gonna send
submarines.
Guys, don't believe all that fear porn. Don't do it. I mean, first of all, the entities that run this planet don't want a nuclear war. They've already stopped.
Too destructive.
No, it messes up the hologram.
Well, yeah, and it also messes up, I don't know, the $3-4 trillion 5G system they put into place.
You fry all that stuff.
Well,
EMP will fry those.
All of them.
So the whole thing is just crazy how they do this. So the Kremlin's now saying that it will be accepted as far as, you know, the offer. So we'll see if Vladimir does it or not. I mean, here's the thing that nobody really seems to understand. Vladimir Putin doesn't march to the beat of our drum.
No.
He just kind of does what he wants to do. Now, you like him, you don't like him or whatever, but I like it when he's in an Orthodox church doing communion and talking to the priests. I think that's pretty cool. So is he really who he says he is, or is he just a KGB putting on a big show? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who cares? But the point is, he doesn't want war with us, and Trump's not going to go to war with him over Ukraine. Are you kidding? Ukraine? No, who cares about Ukraine? It's the size of Texas. I mean, nobody cares.
Well, they do care. Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, they love Ukraine.
Well, yeah, we get to traffic weapons through there. And here's the other thing. Now we've got another major problem. Israel's now planning to retake Gaza City.
I saw that earlier.
Now, even the Germans have stopped sending arms now. They're saying, hey, that's enough of this now. And now what they're doing is, I got this video in yesterday. It's horrible, Austin. These guys are starving to death in Gaza.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally starving to death. It's like an open-air concentration camp. Most of them have been displaced. And they come in with this truckload of food. And the Israeli soldiers are there with the food. And what they do is they use their machine gun fire, and they shoot into the ground around them to form a corridor to keep them inside of the corridors with open fire with real live rounds.
They're
shooting them like they're animals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying to myself, you know, the world has had enough of this. You know, we know they turned off the Iron Dome just so that these guys could come in if it wasn't Mossad coming in. And then they say, well, they have hostages. We don't know if they've got hostages. I've heard both sides of this argument, and a lot of people say there were no Israeli hostages. It was all a lie just to try to justify what they were going to do.
Well, no, then I've also heard other stuff, too, where there was multiple Israelis that did get killed, but they've used them as hostage bait the entire time, saying, well, these guys are still hostages. And these guys, they've been long dead in that conflict from the beginning.
And now, hundreds of thousands are dead in Gaza.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of thousands are dead. And they're starving them to death. The women and the children are starving to death. And yet the world looks on and, you know, and just like the world cannot believe what is happening. But nobody does anything in Israel because they don't care, because they see these people, these Muslims. And I know people who really hate Muslims, and they see them as subhumans. They don't even think about the fact that if they're not a Muslim, they might be a Christian in Gaza getting machine gunned. Or they could be a Jew in Gaza, which I doubt, getting machine gunned. Or they could be a Hindu or a Buddhist or whatever. But the point is, you don't treat people like this. This is horrible with women and children. And even Marjorie Taylor Greene rips AIPAC now for lobbying for genocide in Gaza, saying they're breaking U.S. laws by doing what they're doing and coming in here and lobbying us like this.
Well, you got certain aspects of human rights, too, as far as they've been violated. But yet they're still getting continual amounts of funding from us, which I find very fascinating. Because any other country in the world that was violating human rights to this extent would not get any grant money from us, would not get any, as far as, you know, international money from us. They'd be getting slammed with sanctions.
Yeah.
They'd be slammed with sanctions.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Russia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that came out 2 years ago. I mean, we hit them with, like, every single sanction known to man.
But see, Russia, they have internal consumption.
Exactly.
They're kind of self-supporting. They don't need us. Marjorie Greene said that the breaking U.S. laws on Thursday after a lobbying group took members of Congress on a fully paid trip to Israel. I think I'd pass on Israel right now. Responding to one of America's News' Matt Gaetz show, to AIPAC's claims that she had now joined the ranks of Democratic members of Congress like Ilhan Omar, which is, you know, she's a Muslim, with the same vile rhetoric from voting against U.S.-Israel alliance. She goes, I'm absolutely furious that, as a matter of fact, AIPAC needs to register as a foreign lobbyist, and they're correct, because they're breaking U.S. laws by donating to members of Congress and then by taking them on fully funded trips to Israel. Every single freshman member of Congress this year, they took every single freshman member of Congress to Israel this year. No, I don't even know what to say. They just took them over recently, and then they met with the Prime Minister of Israel. As they get to every member of the Congress becomes indoctrinated. Let's frame that correctly. Take them over to meet with the secular government of a nuclear-armed Israel, who is less than $400 billion in debt, because we keep giving them money. Israel, who has taxpayer-funded health care and college, Israel is not hurting, and they've already proven that they are more than capable of not only defending themselves, but annihilating their enemies to the point of genocide, and that's what's happening in Gaza. And the reason why AIPAC isn't attacking me, because I dare to tell the truth. She continued, if AIPAC wants to come after me and accuse me of betraying my American values, AIPAC, you know that. You can bring it on. I'm totally ready for this. This is a fight that I will fight, and I will give it my all, and I can guarantee you, you're going to lose because America is fed up. Green declared, they're fed up here with the foreign funding of foreign wars, funding foreign causes, funding foreign countries for foreign reasons that have nothing to do with Americans, while Americans work their ass off every day to pay their taxes and come home, and then they're living paycheck to paycheck, and their credit cards are maxed out. She goes, I don't care anymore. I honestly don't care, so I'll burn this bridge to the ground. I will let the flames light the way, because this is a fight that needs to happen. Wow.
Well said.
I kind of like this woman. This is pretty cool.
Know, when you start looking at the fact that Israel gets more foreign aid than any other country in the entire world.
And they have free college, free health care, free everything.
Essentially, on a basis, they're much more prosperous than the United States on a per capita standpoint, as far as per person.
Well, you hear what she says, that their debt is basically non-existent.
No. You know, it's funny. They don't owe money to bankers that print their cash for them.
That's because the Rothschild banking cartel is their central bank. Israel is their fiefdom. And so, oh my gosh. Let's not forget, number one homosexual destination in the world. It was until this all started with Gaza. They're probably not so much anymore. People are a little scared to get bombed over there.
Switch gears.
But you know what? They got their butts handed to them by Iran. Their little Iron Dome didn't work as well as they thought it was going to.
That whole crap when they came out with that theater. Iran's going to come strike the United States.
Dude,
if Iran strikes the United States, that would be the absolute dumbest move and the biggest dumbest moves of history. I mean, that was like whatever. But anyways.
Well, let's not forget about the dancing Israelis on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought I'd mention.
Other health news, health story that came up. This is a pretty cool article since we're covering vitamin C as product of the week. It says, does vitamin C supplements help with anxiety? And it goes to
vitamin C for anxiety?
Yes, that's what it says.
I keep learning stuff here.
This is what just pulled the article up here. The article that came out, does vitamin C supplement help out with anxiety? And it says, essentially, vegetables associated with lower incidence of anxiety in adults. It says emerging evidence suggests that persuading people to consume more fruits and vegetables may not only be benefit in their physical health in the long run, but also their mental health. They said several different mechanisms have been proposed. So vitamin C supplements, it says the brain has some of the highest levels of vitamin C in the body. So the thought is if we take extra vitamin C, it has a therapeutic role in brain diseases, especially given it's not just an antioxidant, but also has critical functions in the brain, such as helping to build neurotransmitters like dopamine. And then it says one study found a beneficial effect of adding vitamin C as an adjunct treatment to antidepressant, while other study found no benefit. So there's mixed results from vitamin C's and depression. They said another study that found no benefit when it came to depression, but those with randomized vitamin C instead of placebo did show decrease in anxiety. So they're getting mixed results in this. So they're showing some people are getting it, some people aren't. I would like to see, though, because they don't disclose it in here and all of it, I would like to see all the different studies and the dosages that they're taking.
And what type of C they're using.
And what type of vitamin C they're using. Because one of the biggest things about vitamin C is it's very dose dependent. You know, I think
it's about 500 milligrams.
Yeah, exactly. That 500 milligrams of mine. I think you need 90 milligrams a day to prevent scurvy. I mean, so 500 milligrams is super low dosage here. And that's where they studied in this one. It says 500 milligrams of vitamin C is what you'll find in about 5 oranges. And so they're trying to compare that. And they said, in 2 weeks, the vitamin C reduced anxiety compared to the placebo, along with providing a significant drop in heart rate. So it's also interesting, as they're saying, as a bonus, vitamin C supplementation may lower your blood pressure by a few points as well. So again, vitamin C continually has really, really big health benefits, and it's crucial for the body in so many different ways. And as Dad said yesterday, it's really good when you stack it with collagen because they work synergistically together to maintain healthy skin. But of course, what'd you say yesterday? If you like wrinkles, if you don't want to have good skin,
make sure you
stay away from vitamin C and collagen.
Yeah, if you really want to be wrinkled up, just don't take these two. By the way, here's an interesting article. I want to ask you about this. It came out a couple days ago, and I haven't had a chance to cover it yet.
Yeah.
Hegseth, right?
Yeah.
His team is told to stop polygraph tests after complaint from the White House. Apparently, they were having leaks to the media. from the defense secretary. Oh, and he's started using polygraph tests to search people leaking information to the news media. He was stopped at the direction of the White House after a senior advisor to Hegseth raised alarm to senior officials that they were being targeted, and the U.S. officials and others familiar with the matter said. The advisor, Patrick Weaver, complained to the White House officials this spring with concerns that soon be directed by Hegseth or other members of the team to submit to a polygraph. The people familiar with the matter said, okay, here's the question I've got. Does he have the right to do this with his administrative staff?
In the Department of Defense, considering the fact that he's the defense secretary, if people have the ability, they're getting basically handed classified intel and classified information, I think it does fall under that category of submitting to a polygraph test. I'd have to ask one of my buddies, though, that has classified, that works with one of those defense contractors. Because remember, you have to sign an enormous amount of paperwork when you get these positions, and you get access to classified material. A, stating you're not going to be disclosing it, you're not going to be breaching this stuff. As far as forcing them to take a polygraph, I don't know the legality of that. I'd have to look it up.
He'd probably let him resign or take the polygraph.
Right, but the fact that he's defense secretary, if you're dealing with people that have really, really high access with classified information, I'm pretty sure they can hit you with a polygraph anytime they want.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because, you know, you talk to people who are getting divorced.
Yeah.
You got his side, her side, and the truth.
The truth, yeah. That's the fact.
You know, and then you take him into court, and they basically are not under oath.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you put them under oath, and this whole story's changed.
Well, remember, it's funny, I just watched that. It was like one of the really good Mission Impossibles, like the seventh one or eighth one or whatever, with a hunter. And the one where he goes down in that water, that cooling chamber, and they have the racing
cool
the BMW.
One, yeah.
Remember his buddy? He's like, I got to go into polygraphs every single week for you, and I got to lie for you on polygraphs.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Submitting those. Again, that was a movie, but I'm pretty sure once you get a certain clearance, especially in the Defense Department, dude, you pretty much have to submit to polys anytime.
Well, he was stopped. He's not allowed to do it anymore.
Well, it's funny. He was stopped, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
He was trying to figure out what's going on with individuals leaking classified information. He said recent unauthorized disclosure of national security information involving sensitive communication with principals of the Office of Secretary of Defense demand immediate and thorough investigation. The use of polygraphs in the execution of this investigation will be in accordance with applicable law and policy. So
by the time he approached the White House to complain, the polygraph test had already been administered to members of the Joint Service Interagency Advisory Group, a team in Hegseth's front office that was assembling to examine how counter-drug cartels and enhanced security on the southern border. People familiar with the matter said the team includes numerous special operations troops. They're polygraphing the troops,
yeah.
And representatives from other government agencies, including the FBI. So he was going after everybody.
What's funny? It's funny they stopped him too.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that a little coincidental. I mean, it's kind of
yeah,
the whole thing.
Let's not tell too much. Colonel Ricky Brera, a military aide whom Hegseth had since made a senior advisor, also took the test and received inconclusive results. Officials said a detailed first reported by The Guardian, he submitted paperwork to retire from the Marine Corps and become a political appointee in April. Tests also been threatened by Hegseth against others, including two top military officers, Navy Admiral Christopher Grady, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Army Lieutenant General Douglas A. Sims, the director of the Joint Staff. Those threats were first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Well, you know, I'm not even sure if that's going to be, you could call it a threat. You know, you may, if you say, I'm thinking about really tightening up on security, so I think we're going to go ahead and have the joint members, all these people, have to take a polygraph. Is that a threat, or is that just
standard operating procedure in the event of a leak?
Yeah.
I mean, if you start having leaks of classified information, at what point do you start tightening down on clearance and start tightening down on what's being said and who's saying what? You can't sit there and go, well, we'll just see what happens over the next year.
Well, remember the Rosenbergs are the ones who took over there and gave Russia the million nuclear bombs. They were both executed. They were leaking information because they had worked at Los Alamos.
It was treason, dude.
It was treason.
Yeah, you start doing that. You start having classified intel, especially on defense stuff, and you start leaking that out. So, I mean, in my position, if that's a position you want to take, especially, I mean, with these guys, you kind of expect that to come with the territory. So, now, also, switching gears with health stories, this is an interesting one. The CDC now, which, I mean, surprisingly, they've really kind of, it's funny, RFK Jr. takes over, and the CDC kind of totally switches gears now. Almost like they're all nervous to get terminated over there.
Maybe they need a polygraph.
Yeah. crap. Yeah, about COVID. It says most of Americans' calories are now coming from ultra-processed foods as health issues, basically health problems, come up to an all-time standard. Listen to this right here. It says 55% of total calories taken in by Americans at 1 year old come from ultra-processed foods, primarily pizza, soda, burgers, and snacks. 55% at 1 year old. And we wonder why these kids are having all these health problems and behavioral problems. Then it goes on to say here, 1 to 18 averages 62% of their calories from ultra-processed foods. And adults consume 53% of their calories from ultra-processed foods. Guys, these foods are a serious problem. They have chemically modifying substances in them. They have products that continually mess up your endocrine system, that mess up your all types of hormonal imbalance, that mess up your gut microbe, that mess up your digestive system. The list goes down the line from top to bottom and messes you up. And then people are coming out, I don't know why I feel so bad. I don't know why I'm having blood sugar problems. I don't know why I'm having colon problems. It's what you're putting in your body. It's not that hard of a concept to understand. And now the numbers are coming out now with RFK Jr., and he's saying, essentially, they described it, said the commission's first report as leading to nutrient depletion, increase in intake of calories, and exposure to harmful additives is worse than we thought. The commission said the guidelines wrongly focus on reducing consumption of food with certain ingredients like sodium instead of emphasizing the importance of minimizing ultra-processed foods. The ultra-processed food consumption has gone down in recent years, according to the CDC data. However, it's still insanely high. Young people consume 65% of their calories in 2017, 2018 from ultra-processed, and now it's down like 62, 63. So it's not changing very much, he said. But people are trying, at least in some cases, to limit their consumption of this food, but it's really not enough yet to make a big change.
Got to tell you a story. I'm out at dinner last night.
Okay.
And I have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Which that's not part of the story.
I was say, where are we going with this?
And so I'm walking to the bathroom, and I run into this guy carrying this three-month-old little boy. Okay. And I said to him, I said, can I ask you a question?
You did not. You did. You did. I know what you're about to ask. You don't even need to tell me the story yet. I already know what he's about to say.
No, this is an interesting story. And I said to him, I said, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm a naturopath. I need to figure out, you know, I'm just going to want to ask you something to see what you're doing. I said, are you going to immunize your child? Now, a lot of you go, I can't believe you did that. That was unbelievably rude. Okay, great. Then you can turn the show off and go listen to Howard Stern. Oh, that's right. He's not there anymore. Sorry.
Sorry about that one, guys. Gosh. Don't listen to Howard Stern. We love you guys.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Because I don't. This is what I do for a living, okay? I try to help people.
Well, it's in what you're doing is you're building intel is what you're doing.
No, I am. I got a story for the show. But that's not why I did it. I felt that little boy looked very alert, very awake. I mean, he's holding his head up at 3 months and everything else.
Looks like Stetson.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And he goes, well, he says, I said, are you going to vaccinate your child? And he goes, he looked at me kind of funny. And I said, he goes, well, why do you ask? And I said, well, I wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, he's had two vaccines. And by this time, some guy's walking by us in the hallway.
Okay.
Another guy. And the guy goes to him, don't do it.
Just out off the cuff.
Yeah, he's just talking about vaccines. Don't do it.
Whoa, okay.
And I'm sorry, this guy walks by and says, don't do it. I thought, okay, we kind of ignored him. And so I said to him, that shot you had for hepatitis that he took, the way he took that, I said, that's loaded with mercury. And I said, the problem with that is that's because they felt as though that your wife was a drug-using IV prostitute.
Oh, God, you said that to him?
Something like that.
I'm about to say, you got to make that context a little clearer.
Man, I wasn't quite that abrasive, but it was similar.
Yeah,
and it is the truth, though. And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, and he goes, well, do you have kids? I said, yeah, I've got four. I said, they weren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
Goes, well, how do you get them in school? So we're having this whole discussion. Okay. Meanwhile, my date is sitting by herself at the table, right?
This is pretty common, though, with him. He'll get in protracted conversation with random people, and I got to go drag him out.
So I start talking to him, and then all of a sudden, the other guy who had told him not to do it says, you need to listen to him. Don't do this.
As he walks by
again.
What's some sitcom show you're in?
And I'm like, oh, gosh. And so I give him my name. I tell him to go ahead and look for books or whatever, you know, and he goes, okay. And so I go back to the table, and my date is sitting there. And she goes, okay, well, where you been? I said, I was talking to the guy over there holding the baby about his baby. She goes, you're kidding, right? And I said, no. gosh. And I mean, it's the first date. First time I ever been out with this
probably
woman.
Probably the last two, though.
It probably was. But that's all right. I'm okay with that. They're not really dates anyhow. They're more interviews. Haven't you ever, guys, you know what I'm talking about. You go out with somebody, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You go out with somebody, you never met them before. You kind of have to interview them and see if they're nuts or not, or if you have compatibility at all. And so it wasn't, yeah, whatever. But anyhow, so, you know, it's funny to me.
Hey, you may save that kid's life.
Well, I hope I did.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, isn't that how it works one person at a time?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible tell us to go out and do likewise as far as converting people to Christianity and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Teaching them to do likewise? If we all work together and everybody talks to everybody about this show, and you have your friends start watching this show, once they get past the offended stuff... And they're not
just
mad
for the South Park part of the show.
Then they may actually learn something, you know. And so that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw this article too. Let me share something with you. This is very important that you understand this. And I'm not trying to be mean to other alternative talk show hosts.
Okay.
90% of alternative talk show hosts are fake.
Probably 85 to 90.
I'm talking about the big ones.
Yeah.
Okay. They're CIA. They're basically Operation Mockingbird. They're being funded through the CIA and through different types of support. Because here's the biggest problem that people have when they do a podcast is how to pay for the podcast.
That's a fact.
I know so many people that have started podcasts, but they can't monetize it.
Yeah.
They can't figure out how to make money to pay for the podcast in order to take their time, because it takes hours a day to prep these shows, and they can't figure out how to do it. See, if you guys weren't doing this and this from us and the collagen, we couldn't be here. So I want to thank you again for doing that.
That's a fact.
But here's what it says. The CIA built hundreds of covert websites. Hundreds, it says. Yeah. So now they're coming and saying it. So they come to a brand new podcast guy and they go, we're going to build a website for you.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, oh, we're going to direct search engines to you.
Yeah.
Suddenly they don't have any listeners at all. And suddenly they're getting millions of views on YouTube in 1 week. And nobody censors them.
It's all about where you direct the algorithm.
That's right. The CIA didn't just infiltrate governments. It infiltrated the internet itself. For over a decade, Langley operated a sprawling network of covert websites that served as global spy terminals disguised as harmless blogs, news hubs, and fan pages. Beginning in 2004, the CIA established a vast network of at least 885 websites, ranging from the Johnny Carson and Star Wars fan pages to online message boards about Rastafari, spanning 29 languages and targeting at least 36 countries directly. These websites were aimed at not only the adversaries such as China, Venezuela, and Russia, I don't know why they're adversaries, but also at allied nations including France, Italy, Spain, showing that the United States treats its friends as much as it does its foes. Covert soccer blogs, cracked passwords, the list goes on and on and on and on, spying on allies and adversaries alike. And basically, this is where we have weaponizing apps and platforms. This is not only the only time that U.S. National Security State has created fake web platforms in order to stroke regime change around the world. In 2010, USAID, remember that one, the CIA front organization,
yeah,
secretly created a Cuban social media app, Zumzito. Often described as Cuban's Twitter, Zumzito rocketed to prominence because all the algorithms were pointed at it. The app has been designed to offer a reliable and affordable service, undercutting the competition before gaining dominance and slowly disseminating anti-government messages to the island.
There you go.
Then at the given time, Zeno would urge users to join protests coordinated by the U.S. in an attempt to foment a color revolution in Cuba. On and on and on. I posted this the other day, and I'm going to post this again because I want you guys to read this.
You know, the part of it kind of bothers me with this is, you know, I wonder how many American citizens were wrapped up in the surveillance, because the CIA is not supposed to operate on this side of the fence, period, mm-hmm, unless they're operating with a joint agency as far as a U.S. agency. And it makes me wonder, because we already know the CIA spies and does all kinds of stuff very nefarious in the U.S. on U.S. soil and Americans. And that's what I don't like about this, is there's supposed to be a spy agency global that basically spies on everybody else, but they do more spying on the United States more than they do anything with, you know, DHS and so forth. That's completely outside of their scope that they're supposed to be allowed to do.
And here's another article from NPR.org, which is interesting. Video shows Department of Justice official urging January 6 rioters to kill cops.
There you go.
How many podcasts do you hear that on?
Yeah.
Okay. It goes on. Police body cam footage introduced at the trial of Jared Wise showed him berating police officers on January the 6th and yelling, "Kill them!" It's pretty strong. As rioters attacked law enforcement, less than 5 years after urging rioters to kill the police at Capitol, a former January 6th defendant is working as a senior advisor for the Department of Justice,
yep,
which has been dramatically remade. NPR has obtained police body cam footage from multiple angles of the former defendant and current administration official, Jared Wise, berating officers and calling them Nazis and Gestapo. NPR located the footage, which has been previously not published, in a review of thousands of court exhibits from January 6th criminal cases. So how many provocateurs were there from the FBI, Austin?
I think 51, 52. They were on record. On record.
They were wearing masks.
Earpieces. They had full comms. They had full communications with everybody around them. And, yeah. And then suddenly, oh, we got to start arresting Miss, you know, Miss Pam in Nebraska, 72 years old. We'll go raid her house with 30 FBI agents in the middle of the night, do a no-knock search warrant, flashbang them, extradite her back to D.C. Because, you know, she walked on the Capitol steps and took a selfie. Bad.
What about the 51 people that were provoking and provoking? The provocateurs?
Never seen their names listed. Never seen anybody even put on paid leave. Nothing. Completely and totally kept hush-hush because they didn't want everybody knowing what was actually going out.
Oh, I've got a funny one. We got to break for a second from this negative stuff. Shockwaves, a scandalous allegation targets a glamorous Fox star in a Trump circle.
Oh, gosh, here we go again. All else fails.
No, this one triggered me. I thought, I got to see what it is. I've got to see what the scandalous allegation is. A scandalous accusation has caused turmoil in the Trump sphere as a dispute among stylish conservative women arose over the size of an engagement ring.
Oh, I saw something about that.
Involving a prominent Fox News personality, Emily Wilson, known online as Emily Saves America, became the target of an offensive allegation after she criticized the engagement ring of fellow political pundit Sarah Stock. Stock posted a photo of her diamond ring on social media with the caption, "I won," which sparked ridicule from MAGA supporters over the ring's modest size. Among those was Wilson, who brutally teased she cannot be a traditional wife, meaning traditional wife, if your man can't even afford a ring. Okay, stop.
Stop.
Okay. Just because a guy doesn't buy you a fair 4-carat diamond ring that's $100,000 doesn't mean you can't be a traditional
wife. It's out of blood money in Africa.
All right. I'm so sick of the beers of how they've propagandized women.
Completely manipulated, okay. Mark.
Number one, if you're going to go into debt over a ring and you're a guy, that wife that you're trying to propose to needs to really evaluate what type of behavioral patterns you're going to have once you get married as far as your decisions as far as spending money. And I just got a lot of people really, really mad. And I don't care anymore. I had enough of it. My wife had a 1-carat zircon ring. I bought her a 25. It was a quarter of a carat stone. We got married because, you know, back then nobody had any money anyhow. And after about 10, 15 years, she goes, "Can I get a bigger diamond?" And I said, "Sure." She goes, "Can I have a zircon?" And I said, "Okay." She goes, "If I lose this ring, I don't want to lose an expensive diamond." And I said, "Okay." And sure enough, a few years later, she lost the ring. And so she said, "Can we go to the pawn shop and get me another ring?" And you look at me like, "You know you didn't do that." We did. We went to the pawn shop and got her another ring. I think we paid $100 for it before gold went through the roof, right? And so then about a month later, she found her old ring again. And so the pawn shop ring went back in the drawer. And I thought to myself, okay, that's pretty cool. You can buy a lab-grown diamond, a 4-carat lab-grown flawless diamond in a ring, in a setting, and have it custom-made for you for about $1,200.
And it'll spike on a diamond meter, too.
It'll show this real diamond on a meter. So let me ask you a question. That's 4 carats. That's a big ring.
That's a big ring.
I mean, if you're walking to Ybor City at night, don't wear
that
ring.
Off.
Okay? If you're wearing a Rolex in Ybor City, don't wear it at night. You're going to get mugged. Okay? There's certain places like Italy.
Jacksonville.
I know you don't like Jacksonville. You go to the beach on the boardwalk of Jacksonville.
Don't do that.
You're taking your life in your own hands at night. And it's like Daytona used to be that way. Daytona's still that way at night.
Daytona's still like that, but Daytona's still not Jacksonville. Jacksonville takes the cake. It's worse than Miami. I mean, it's just, I don't know what happened to Jacksonville 150 years ago, but something bad happened up there.
You know, I had a friend of mine who used to do direct mail into Jacksonville. He couldn't get any response whatsoever in Jacksonville. Ever.
And the reason why I say this, I'm not picking on Jacksonville. I know we got some great customers
and,
up there.
And there's some beautiful areas out there, too.
Yeah, I used to work in Jacksonville for a while. We worked in Jacksonville, lived in Jacksonville, worked in Amelia Island for a contract. I worked up there with ICF Builders. And we finally got so sick of Jacksonville and the commute, we moved directly into Amelia Island. Amelia Island's beautiful. Fernandino Beach. Beach, that whole area, amazing. People up there, amazing. Beautiful area.
Julie Andrews lives there.
Yeah, she does. We saw her. I saw her. Well, we were working on the house next door to her. She'd come outside sometimes. She's really nice. And we were working on this big mega mansion. I mean, big. And we were doing all the windows. We had the contract for all the windows, all the hurricane windows we were installing up there. Big, heavy ones. And the people up there were really cool. I mean, even the people that were, I mean, ridiculously rich, riding Rolls Royces all the time, they were still super cool. 30 minutes south to go to Jacksonville, no bueno. I mean, I remember I took my son up there years ago when I was in my 20s, and we were on the boardwalk in Jacksonville, and it got at night, and it was like, it's like the animals came out at night. I mean, as far as just homeless individuals, dopers, driving.
Some of you know a different part of Jacksonville is not like that, and you're saying, well, it's not like that
it's
everywhere.
It's not like that everywhere.
Okay,
just most of it. I'm sorry for my Jacksonville listeners, but I lived there. I saw it.
Well, no, I've had lunch in Ybor numerous times, and I don't mind having lunch in Ybor.
But you don't go to Ybor at night.
Remember Halloween a few years ago? I think 14 people got shot
at
Halloween.
A concert. Yeah.
And you know what? I used to go there before that happened, and after that, it ain't ever come back up as far as tourism since then.
Well, when you start having double-digit amount of people get shot in one
night,
venue, it really hits headlines rough because everybody's like, in the same area, like in Orlando, where they had the gay nightclub, the Pulse shooting, and all those people got shot there with that whole weird situation.
Well, whatever happened there,
whatever
we don't
happened
even know.
There. But still, that whole area has gone massively downhill now.
Oh,
there's there's nobody does anything over there anymore. It's real.
Well, people have a tendency when they get shot, they don't really want to go back. Or if their friends get shot. It turns into a real mess for everybody.
Well, they call us, they say Chicago's now called Chirac.
I remember we went up there after that shooting. I remember Austin and I went up there. There was a police officer there in a Dodge Ram truck with a motor running.
Yeah, in Orlando.
And we asked him, what happened here? And he goes, everything they've told you in the news is a lie.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And then we went back over to two other guys that were sitting on an ice chest cooler while the forensics team were inside. And they were just basically spouting the mainstream narrative.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is interesting.
Well, something happened. We never got the truth up. Something big happened there, though.
Well, they told us that there were bullet holes all over the outside of the building. There wasn't one bullet hole. We were there.
Now, what happened inside? We never got to go inside. That whole thing was roped off and cordoned off.
I imagine they must have torn that thing down by now.
I'm sure it's gone. Yeah. And usually, anytime you got to see an event like that occurs, most of those buildings, they just demolish them. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to go there about that school up north that suddenly got torn down after a alleged shooting.
I'm not going to go there. We can't go there. That's dangerous.
No.
I remember a lot of times these fast food restaurants, if something happens to one of them, within a week, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's not worth
the infrastructure. And because it has such a negative storefront presence, mm-hmm. Everybody remembers when they see it. And so it's like, just bulldoze it. Just put something new there.
Yeah, put something new there.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next story?
Anyways, on top of that. Well, no, I was going into, I was covering the whole thing with, this article says how De Beers shaped and still controls the diamond market.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled up. And it says they created the strongest marketing campaign ever and changed how you think about diamonds and affects how we pay for them and why we believe they're worth what they are. And essentially trying to say supply limitation, exclusive access, manufacturing scarcity. And in reality, if you've ever talked to anybody that's been over there. There's no scarcity. I mean, they pull stuff out of the ground. I mean, they're entangled all kinds of other different
laying on the ground
minerals and rocks, but there is no scarcity at all over there. And the people that work those mines get paid virtually nothing. It's like almost slave labor. And then they come in and they have these diamonds. Oh, this is a 3-carat, 4-carat, 5-carat. These diamonds are $100,000. And the net profit margins on this diamond business model are probably the highest of any industry, even over the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Because you'll have these diamonds that, you know, you pay these guys $2 and $3 a day to mine for, and now suddenly you turn around and sell those diamonds after you get them back and you polish them. You may have a few hundred dollars, a few thousand dollars, maybe cutting them, etching them, and then you turn around and sell them for $200,000-$300,000. The margins don't exist anywhere in the world like that in the diamond industry. That's why I'm always such a big proponent of gold and silver. You can't manipulate it as much. You can manipulate it on the markets with paper shorts, but at the end of the day, an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. I've watched people go in and buy huge diamond rings when I was younger, and they'd finance them. They'd go pay $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for natural diamond. Then they'll send the wife on something different, or they get divorced. Saw that a lot. A lot of friends get divorced. They come back, same jeweler. I want to trade this in. I want to sell it. Oh, that's cool. We'll give you $2,000 for it. I paid you $25,000 last year. The diamonds, it's perfect. You know, the market's down right now with De Beers. And so that we're the best we can do is $2,000. You're like, but I just paid you $25,000. You think the car market's manipulated? My gosh. Yeah.
And that's why when they started doing the lab-grown diamonds,
it changed the industry.
It changed everything.
And when you hit it with a diamond meter and it comes up legit, and you can actually get stuff
that, and it's clean, it's pretty.
Well, and what's happened is now too, you have so much competition because you have different manufacturers now that aren't controlled by De Beers that come in now with these machines and they grow them the same way the earth grows them in a lab, though. And again, it's not a consumable item, so don't get at me with lab-grown or lab-engineered. You're not eating the diamond. It's not GMO food. So don't send me an email on that. I know somebody will say it's lab. Grown. I'm not telling you to go eat lab-grown fish or lab-grown beef. I'm telling you this is a market that's massively manipulated, and I've seen so many friends get ripped off over it. So again, that was my stance on
that. Oh, by the way, disgusting European holiday hotspot now on the brink of collapse due to over-tourism.
Disgusting.
They're talking about Venice.
Oh.
Now I'm going to stop this for a second, okay? That's nonsense. I've been to Venice many times, all right? In fact, there's a hotel I stay at over there that I used to know the front desk guy. He was the general manager of the hotel. You know, always hooks up with the nice
room. He gets you upgrades.
Yeah, he upgraded to the Grand Canal. It was great. And, I mean, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Here's the problem. Here's the caveat. Don't go in the summertime.
Yeah.
You got a lot of rain. You got high tides.
A lot of people.
You got flooding. You got dead fish everywhere and a lot of people from cruise ships. Don't go in the summertime. Go to Venice in the spring, March or April. Go to Venice in October or November. And it is beautiful. Stay away from Venice in the summer. But it's not on the brink of collapse. That's the most stupid thing
Venice
I've ever heard.
Venice will never be on the brink of collapse.
The Italians are charging $5 a day now for tourist fees. Okay, because there are hundreds of thousands of people coming in a day, so they're making extra money.
When you start getting overrun with tourism, I mean, I wish we'd do that in Florida now. I think we start charging. I think anybody that comes to Florida during the summer that's not a Florida resident, they need to pay $100 per person to enter the state of Florida. That'll stop this crap down here.
Well, but the one thing to see what DeSantis does, because he collects so much sales tax and hotel tax.
Oh, yeah, well, they collect the money.
They give us, you know, free tax holidays.
No, we need to collect the money. It needs to be dispersed back to the citizens of New Florida. Yeah, but this is insane. I mean, what happens to Florida during the summer with the traffic, with the restaurants, with everything around here? It's insane.
Well, in January, too.
Yeah.
It's even worse in January when all the tourists come down because it's cold up north.
It's cold. The entire north of the United States descends on Florida.
And now all the baby boomers have come here so many times for vacations, they moved here after they retired.
There's so many flights that come in from up north, it blots out the sun in the afternoon. I'm just joking. It doesn't happen.
But Venice is a beautiful place to go. I highly suggest you go there at least once in your life. And try to stay right there on the Grand Canal if you possibly can, but be very careful in the hotels that you go to. Now, what you do is you take a boat to your hotel, which is pretty cool.
Everything's boat over there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no cars. You take a boat to the hotel, and don't do the mass transit. If your hotel's on the water there, just spend the $50 and take the boat to the hotel and have them drop you off right at the hotel instead of trying to schlep your luggage. We did that one time. We schlepped luggage.
Everything's very wet over there.
It was hills. The little bridges everywhere. You're carrying luggage
everywhere.
It was horrible. So from that point on, next time we went over there, we made sure we got right to the hotel. So that was really
interesting. Switching gears. Yesterday now, the DOJ settled lawsuit against Biden administration over the COVID vaccine mandate.
What?
Yes. They said the Feds for Freedom required the government to expunge the COVID-19 vaccine status records of federal workers and prohibits discrimination based on vaccine status moving forward. Feds for Freedom, which is a nonprofit representing 6,000 federal workers after COVID, sued the Biden administration December 2021 after Joe Biden signed an executive order mandating vaccines for any and all federal employees and contractors. The settlement marks a significant victory for individual rights and serves as a powerful, implicit acknowledgement of the government's overreach. Under the settlement, the government must expunge all COVID vaccine status records. All of them. Everything has to be eliminated. The settlement also prohibits future discrimination based on any aspect of vaccine status. Feds for Freedom declined to reveal any other terms of the settlement, which have not been made public yet. This is a big deal. Because this right now is going to set precedent if we ever get some buffoon clown in office like Biden again that comes in and says every federal worker has to have injection with an RNA gene therapy shot. This now sets the precedence with the DOJ that this is not legal. This was massive overreach. There's a reason why Congress didn't ratify this as law. This was an executive order done by the bumbling buffoon Biden. This should never have been
probably by Otto Penn.
probably by AutoPen. And this is the issue we've run into now with executive orders. I talked to a buddy about this at the gun shop yesterday. Executive orders used to be on that aspect where you look like Washington and some of the early founding fathers. They'd sign like three or four executive orders. Whole time during presidency. The republic is not meant to be functional off executive orders.
Well, because Congress won't do anything.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you can't just come in as a tyrant dictator and say, by the way, I decree everybody has to get an experimental injection.
Rule by edict.
That's exactly what it is. And so this is a huge, huge win. I'm glad this group got together. They represent 6,000 workers in this lawsuit. This seems big.
Well, there's hundreds of thousands of federal workers.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, this is how many people have got involved with this. With
so they're going to expunge the record
now. They're basically making it illegal to ever require a vaccine status ever again. Prohibits any future discrimination based on vaccine status. So it doesn't matter if you don't have a shot or not.
You know,
can't terminate
this is 5-6 years ago, this crap.
I know. I was just thinking about that, 2021.
And it's almost hard to believe now that that actually happened in the United States of America. We sat right here, you know, on our podcast, and we said, what the heck is going on? And why are you telling us we can't leave our houses, we can't go to work, we can't provide for our family unless we're vaccinated? And if then remember that 666?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody chewing you out because you weren't wearing a mask?
I told you, I watched that movie Eddington the other day, and it was very strange, very disturbing film. It was well done, but it brought everything way back into light as far as with COVID. And this is what the issue is. We watched it happen. I told everybody, I said, this isn't okay. And see, with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the only reason we didn't have a full-blown insurrection is because shelter, food, and water were still met because they were given by free money. Mm-hmm. If you took any one of those things and you pulled a cord on them during COVID, we had a full-blown meltdown in this country. If people were having to go to your local store, your local FOB base or military base, and stand in line to get MREs every single day and get COVID tested to get MREs, you would have seen everything completely degrade. But they played it well. They started giving everybody free money and STEMI checks every single month, and you got paid an enormous amount of money not to work and go on unemployment. That's the only reason you didn't see a meltdown with everyone.
That's what inflated everything.
$7 trillion has a tendency to do that.
Oh, by the way, this health food loved by the wealthy has now been linked to Lou Gehrig's disease. They're talking about wild mushrooms.
Really?
Because irreversible neurological disorder if you get the wrong mushrooms.
Well, we've known that for years. There's certain mushrooms you can't eat. They'll kill you.
Yeah, but I mean, they're warning. I have a friend of mine who got some bad mushrooms and went in some kind of acid trip from the mushrooms and almost died.
Oh, some are psychedelic. I mean, you got to know. I mean, I don't think the ones at the store, like organic mushrooms at the store, do that.
Well, I don't either. But the thing about it is just be careful with mushrooms, guys, especially if you're out there picking them in the woods.
Oh, yeah. So I know some of the local farmers, when they have some of the organic stuff, I love some grilled mushrooms sometimes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good. But going out in the woods and picking mushrooms, you better darn well.
Well, no, this girl took some psychedelic mushrooms for fun.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Almost died from it.
Well, yeah, those psychedelic mushrooms, they've done research studies on them with this final ingredient. They've shown low doses can actually help out with PTSD, but it's a very fine line.
Yeah.
You start going high dose on that stuff.
It's like using ketamine.
Yes.
You got to be real careful. If you're going to be doing all that stuff, you better be working with
the physician
who knows what they're doing. Yeah.
Because there are guys that I know that have had significant amount of combat time, and PTSD is a serious issue, and they've used some stuff like that and gotten good results from it. So I'm not against it at all, but it needs to be controlled and run under a certain dosage, because you just start having an open dosage of that stuff and you start taking enormous amounts. Certain people can't handle that, and they start having serious, serious cognitive problems, and some people don't get out of it. So again, be cautious of that.
Oh, by the way, apparently the size of your calf will determine how long you live.
Really? This is probably what's called the second heart, essentially.
Yeah, the size of the surprising body part can predict how long you will live, and it's talking about the calf muscle itself, which
really?
I thought was pretty cool.
Was that because the cardiovascular system?
It doesn't really say. It just says that basically it tells you how to measure your calf and measure your waist and all the rest of this stuff. And it's just, so I guess if you have skinny legs, you've got a problem.
Yeah, you need to train them more.
Oh, by the way, Steve Bannon basically has said he is not going to be running for president in 2028 because there were rumors he was going to do so. He said he is here to support Donald Trump. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, Steve Bannon, he refused to testify, remember? And they put him in jail for it.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't have to do that.
That's pretty crazy when you think about that.
Yeah, I don't think I want to talk to you guys today. Well, you're going to jail.
Would he just plead the fifth?
He said, he just didn't show up. They got him for contempt of court.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And he ended up going to jail for, I think, 90 days or whatever it was.
Well, the issue you run with that is the aspect of rule of law with a subpoena and having to show up. I guess he could have just showed up and plead the fifth.
That's probably what he should have done.
He should have done.
He just ignored it.
And the problem is you start having a federal judge issue.
They get mad.
They get kind of mad because they haven't sometimes – entirely too much power.
I remember one time there was a TV evangelist. He's going to be subpoenaed. And he basically was told he had to testify and give a deposition. He didn't do it. And the third time he was supposed to do it, he was hiding over in Israel. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to go there.
Well, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you have a good weekend. Vitamin C powder, be sure to try it out. If you like the capsules, you'll love the powder. As far as bang for your buck, there's a lot more powder in it because you don't have to, as far as running the capsules. Be sure to check that out. And the collagen, you want it. We got it in both sizes now. You requested a smaller can. A lot of people want the smaller can. I made it for you. So hope you guys enjoy it. Team Health Masters, give us a call. Email us if you need anything. I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you for the positive emails. We'll talk to you again on this show Monday as always.
Love you guys. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Remember, God is here for you, and he's always been here for you. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you on Monday.